We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Today I want to talk a little bit about who you are. It's a question that honestly I ask myself with a great deal of regularity because I want to be the kind of person that I think I am, not that I wish I was. Have you ever talked to somebody and when they talk about who they want to be and then you actually know them, they're not even the same person? You're like I want to be you know, a patient person. I can't believe this door won't open. You know what I mean? You just what you say you want to be, you're not. And then, like I love Christmas, but you hate everybody coming over. But I'm a Christmas, like, I could do Christmas 365 because I love it. I love kids. I love the excitement. I love the family atmosphere. I love celebrating the birth of Christ. I love, man, just if you name it, I love it about Christmas. But Christmas comes with a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of expense and a lot of right. So in order to say that I love Christmas means that I have to embrace Walmart. And that's a struggle for me. So I looked at Scripture and I thought, well, you know what, Lord, what if more than just in the things that don't matter, if we ask who we are, what about the things that really do matter? If we ask, who am I really? Because here's what happens. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, I'm going to go 11 through 15. It said, now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And when I first read that, I thought, no joke. Because Paul did some, Paul was the same guy when he was in the inner sanctum, when Paul and Silas began to sing, prison doors opened, but prisoners didn't leave. I mean, Paul was the same guy who was shipwrecked. He would go to do what the Lord told him to, and then would get shipwrecked. In one of those shipwrecks, he was shipwrecked, he was cold and he was wet, so these people came and were hospitable to him, right? And so I'm thinking, yay, this is kind of the miracle of God. But then Paul goes to load some wood in the fire and a snake bites him. And it was a poisonous snake. Now, Paul's not having a good day. If your boat sinks in your snake, but you're not having, but Paul just shook it off into the fire and people were astounded. And a lot of people came to be healed and came to know Christ because it didn't hurt Paul. So when the book of Acts says, now Paul worked unusual miracles, or God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, you have to remember it's not Paul, it's always God. But he said this, he said that, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left him, and the evil spirits went out of him. So in this time, man, they're taking stuff from Paul, and Paul is so close to God, and God is at a season where he's doing this amazing work through Paul that people are just taking stuff from Paul, and just the representation of the presence of God in their life is doing these miraculous things, these unusual, crazy things. And Paul, and then it says, and some of itinerant Jews. Now, I looked that word up, and it really means that they're wanderers. These people are kind of vagrants. They're Jewish people who are wandering throughout the countryside. So they don't really have a home. They're just kind of wandering, but they're Jews. So they're people of faith, but they're people of faith who are just wandering around. And I stopped for a second, and I said, you know what? How many Christians nowadays are just kind of wandering? They really don't have a home. They really don't have a place where they fit in, where they're connecting. And whenever you don't have a connection point, whenever you don't have a place where you consistently go and you consistently learn and you consistently grow, you're apt to be blown by the wind. Whatever sounds good, you'll go with. Now watch what happens in this, because it kind of caught me. It says, some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists who took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sechbia, a Jewish priest, who also did so. So you got this little group of people who are going around, and they really don't know what they're doing, but they're trying to do something. And they're not trying to do something because God told them to do something. They're just trying to do something because they thought it was a good idea. See, and you got to understand that in your life, without roots, you can't tell the difference between good idea and God idea. Because some things are just good ideas and some things are God ideas. And sometimes good ideas will come into your life disguised as God ideas. Well, I've been praying for somebody. I've been praying for a husband, and he showed up. So I assumed it was God. And now I'm living in hell. Well, it wasn't God. It was a good idea, and you started dating this booger. You ran all the red lights of your relationship. You ever been in a bad relationship? Think back. How many red lights did you run? How many times did you know, man, I should stop. This isn't a good idea. It's a horrible idea. But you kept going. Now, we can talk to single folks all day long. But how many times as a married couple did you see the red lights and decisions you were making, but you just blew through them? And oftentimes at the end of these decisions, we're left with the question, who am I? Who am I supposed to be in my marriage? Who am I supposed to be in my faith? Who am I supposed to be? So what happens is these seven guys decide that they're going to do what they see being done without understanding the context of how it's being done, because they have no roots to get direction. Now watch this. The evil spirit answered them and said this, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? I know who Jesus is. We watched him. Some of us were, because, you know, demons have got to make fun of each other. Them boys were cast into some pigs by him. And Paul we know. Oh, we've heard about him. But what we really want to know is, who are you? Have you ever stopped to really ask the question, if somebody asked you who you really were in the faith, who you really were in your family, like, not that we want this to happen, because I'm going to be honest with you, it happens about 99% of this room is going to vacate. If a demon itself stopped and looked at you and said, who are you? Somebody said, I'd be gone. I'd just leave that demon alone. I'd be like, that's where you're at. You are alone. I'll tell you who I am. I am disappearing. How you like me now? Does this make sense? But let's say that you had the intestinal fortitude to stay. Because here's the thing. What would you think? What would you think Jesus would say if that demon looked at Jesus and said, who are you? Jesus would say, now I'm just going to guess at what I think he would say. He would say, I'm Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead, buried, raised again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and now I sit at the right hand of God. That's who I am. I was there in the beginning. I'll be there at the end. And according to Revelation, I will kick your booty into the lake of fire. Come get some. Is that pretty fair? Now, if I was Paul, I'd say, listen, I'm Paul. I'm chief among sinners. First of all, you got to understand something. I was the guy who used to run around and crucify. I was there at Stephen stoning. I cheered him on. But I was also there at the Damascus Road. When I was on my way to aggravate and to cast into jail and to decapitate Christians for following Christ, I was there and the Lord revealed himself to me. And I spent years under a man being discipled so that I could know this faith. I was the man who went and was turned away by the Jews and by the Christians because nobody trusted me. I know what it's like to walk this life alone, and the only thing I had was Jesus. I lost my prominence. I lost my place. I lost my position to follow Christ. But I'll tell you who else I am. I'm the man who followed Christ, and my ships fell apart, but the Lord saved me. I'm the man who got snake bit, but the Lord used it. I was the man who was thrown into jail, but the doors opened and nobody left. That's who I am. I'm a guy who's not perfect, but that same Jesus who was crucified, dead, and rose again, he's the one who's working and living inside of me, and he's the one who sets all my paths, not just the ones I like the way they're winding. Because see, sometimes God has to take you through the valley to make you. So here's my question. Sometimes as Christians, do we spend our time emulating or imitating? Because see, so what these guys tried to do is they tried to imitate what they had seen. Well, I saw you say these words and do these things, so if I say these words, then the same thing will happen. Rather than emulating, Paul said this. He said, you can follow me as I follow Christ. Now think about that. What if Somebody was going to base their heaven or hell based on following everything that you did. So they're gonna go. So what if your children were going to go to heaven based on your prayer life? The vocabulary you use, the television you watch, the sites you look at, the music you play. What if somebody else's heaven or hell was going to be based totally, and it's not, thank God, off the decisions that you make? Think about that. But if we emulate, if we say, you know what, I'm going to follow somebody the way that they follow Christ. And that's really what Paul was getting at when he said that. He said, go to church like I go to church. Don't pray the exact prayer that I pray, but pray as often as I pray. Read your Bible, man. You can read your Bible the way I read my Bible and you won't go wrong. I'm not perfect, Paul, because Paul said I'm chief among sinners, right? He said, look, there's some stuff you want to kick out. Now, this is the same Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Is there anything wrong if we really say, who am I? Is it okay to say, you know what, I don't have it all together? I have people all the time go, I would go to church, but it's full of hypocrites. I'm like, so is the hospital. You ever been on a cardiac floor? Look, I get an opportunity to pray with people all the time, go to a cardiac floor. Them rascals are trying to order a hamburger. Now, I don't know what you know about cardiac health. Red meat ain't on it. Generally, bread ain't on it. Cheerios are on it, but you got to eat it with white water and no sugar. You know, I started eating Cheerios because they were heart healthy. And then I figured out the 8 gallons of milk and the 12 pounds of sugar I was putting on them was defeating all. Does this make sense? Sometimes you have to go, yeah, I eat Cheerios, but I put them in sugar and whole milk. Sometimes you have to look at people and go, look, follow me as I follow Christ, but emulate what I do. Don't imitate what I do. You have to be who God created you to be, but you have to be okay with knowing who that is, because your story is not my story, and my story is not your story. When you say, you know what, I want to see what God can, because if you listen to the difference between Paul and Jesus, it's not the same story. Jesus said, I'm without sin, so I'm a perfect sacrifice. Paul said, I'm the opposite. I'm saved by that grace. Is this making any sense? So when you sit back and you say, you know what, who am I really? Who am I really supposed to be? I love this. Do I possess what I'm trying to project? Do I really possess what I'm trying to project? Am I really what I want you to think I am? Or is what I'm projecting out to the world not really who I am? Because these Jewish people, what they wanted to do was they wanted to talk Jesus. And they wanted to look Jesus without being Jesus, without knowing Jesus, without serving Jesus. They wanted to project something that they didn't have to give away. That's why when they tried to give it away, the demons looked at him and said, no, we know holy. We know Jesus. We know people who were saved by Jesus. You ain't none of that. All you have is words. And what I worry about sometimes in our faith is this. Are we people who serve and who are authentic and who really live what we believe? Or do we just live a version of it? Like this, does your text language match your church language? I can't tell if I've lost you or if I've stepped on your toes, because y'all are quieter than a funeral home. Does this make sense? I can't tell if maybe what you say you look at and what you really look at aren't the same thing. I know for me, my wife will tell you, I go through this all the time, probably about once every 3 months. I read quite a bit. Actually, I listen quite a bit. I do a lot of audio books. But about 1 in 4 of those books will deal with who I am as a person and as a Christian and as a leader. Because here's what I know. I can project being a great pastor. I can talk about loving people. But in my heart, if I just go through the motions and project it, but don't possess it, then I'm not really it. Does this make sense? We came off of I took my wife away for a getaway. We hadn't been away in about 5 years, just the two of us, and we did that this week. And on our way back in, I've got 15 phone calls going. And right as I land, we got a call from somebody in the church who said, look, somebody that the church has been praying for is near death. Can you come pray with them? Now, what I wanted to do, it took me 2.5 hours to get through Raleigh. Can I get a witness from somebody? You want to test the, you want to watch the fruit on your tree dry up and die. Anyway, I'm not even going to tell you that. Yes, I am. Finally, I'm driving down the road on 40. It finally breaks loose, and I'm driving down the road, and somebody in a Subaru, and I don't ask me what the Subaru has to do with anything, doesn't even give a signal, just starts coming into my lane. So what do? I'm in a big truck. I lay on my horn. No, it's not that big of a truck, but it was here. But in my mind, it's up here. You know what I'm talking about. I'm blowing the horn, and I drive a red truck, fire engine red. How do you miss it? And he was at my wife's door. I'm like, look, it's a billboard beside you blowing at you. How do you not see it? Uncircumcised Philistine. Okay, I passed a little judgment right then. And I had a choice. Honestly, in my mind, I thought, I could just hit him. I mean, it won't be much in this truck. It'll just, you know, I can go over the front of a Subaru and not even slow down. Maybe you're more holy than I am. I told you, I'm Adam, chief among sinners, right? And so finally, Trey said, and I'm like, okay, I got to slow down. And then I looked at her and said, you know what? Because I'm really working on my fruit of the Spirit because I want to preach on it, but I can't preach on it because some of my fruit is not very big. Because I have to possess what I intend to project. Y'all just got funeral home again. Y'all are okay with laughing at me hitting somebody. But I start talking about my fruit being a little small on a tree. And you start looking. And my wife will tell you, over the last couple of weeks, man, I've done great. Had a guy try to cut me off at the McDonald's drive-thru. Have you been there in Graham? There are two lanes. And I ordered first. And I'm behind the car. And I get about half my truck out. And then this guy pulls up beside me and lays on the horn. And I'm like, I was in front of you. And then he gave me an international sign of respect. And I'm like, I'm a preacher. I can call down fire from, no, you can't. And finally I looked at him, I'm like, I'm sorry. And I'm talking to my wife on the phone. Now in the past, I would have given him driving instructions, right? I'd be like, you're stupid, I was it, right? And then my wife would have been on the phone going, you're a preacher, you can't do that, and right? So I just looked at him like, I'm sorry. And Tracy's on the phone, she's like, I'm proud of you. And I'm like, I have to grow this fruit because that fruit was struggling right then. Patience. But I don't want to stand in the pulpit and project something that I don't possess. Because I have to constantly ask the question. Not because, see, sometimes I think the Lord lets you hear things even from your enemies that cause you to self-evaluate who you really are. Because I would rather have the Lord ask me who I am than have the devil ask me who I am. Here's the question. Do my habits reflect my beliefs? The word says this. Paul and Jesus both in Scripture saying they were in the habit of going to church. They were in the habit of praying. They were in the habit of being around other believers. Let me ask you a question. Do your habits match who you say you are? I mean, this isn't like a shout me down message. I'll be honest with you. I kind of knew it going into it that this wasn't going to be like a, yay, the pastor's the best. But it's one of those messages that if you really take it and chew on it, not like just on Sunday, but like all week, and you keep asking the same question in context. It's like this. Do I go run to that person who's dying because I care about their eternity or because it gives the image that I want to project? The motive behind the why is as important as the action. It's like this. I would rather apologize to somebody who I don't think I've offended than I would to have them operate in that offense. Well, that shouldn't have caused you to stumble. If you hit the ground, it doesn't matter. The word says, don't do anything that causes your brother to stumble. But sometimes I just tell him to pick his feet up better. No, am I telling the truth? That shouldn't have caused him to stumble. Well, how do you know? Because I'm going to tell you this. What causes a 12-year-old to stumble is different than a 90-year-old woman. Because sometimes it has to, and what causes a 90-year-old woman to stumble is different than what it takes an 18-month-old who's just learned to walk to stumble. Because them kids will fall over air. So you can't judge what causes the stumble. You can only judge what you're trying to be. And who, not who you want to be, but who you are. Does this make sense? Watch this. I love this. Verse 16 says, then the man who the evil spirit was leaped on him, overpowered him, prevailed against him, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You ever notice that when you try to fake who you are, the only thing you end up is broken, embarrassed, and exposed? Sometimes the Lord will allow you to see your weakness, not to embarrass you, but to grow you up. And that sometimes, all the time, what God's really trying to do is use your life to bring Him glory. Watch this. This became known to all the Jews and all the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. I'm going to be honest with you. If people make mistakes and that kind of thing, I ended up naked, beat up, and thrown out in the street, I'd probably get right too. The revival can come from two ways. It can come from excitement or fear. And the name of the Lord was magnified. God always gets glory in your growth. The Lord wants you to be transparent. He wants you to be authentic. Not because and sometimes He allows places to be exposed, because as you change in them, people will notice. And God will get the credit for what He's doing. See, what we want to do is we want to focus on the fact that people got overpowered, they got prevailed against, and they got beat up, wounded, and naked. What God wanted to focus on was what happened after that. All these people started getting right. Watch this, verse 18 through 20. It says, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. I bet I would. If I saw all that happen to somebody else, I'm going to be walking up to the man of God going, let me tell you what I've done. Let's talk about it. I talked about them. I lied about them. I cheated them. I conned them. Right? I looked at this. I listened to this. Because before them things come to beat me up, strip me down, and throw me out in the street, I'll just tell you about it. Because see, repentance is always better than punishment. God desires repentance above punishment. See, and the church for a long time has taught it wrong. We taught, and I apologize if you grew up under this, but we taught that God's mission was to punish you. God's plan has always been repentance, not punishment. If God wanted to punish you, He would have just held Jesus. He said, it's not my will that any should perish. I don't want you to go through punishment. I don't want you to go through, but that all should have eternal life. Who's it for? It's for everybody. I'm not here to punish you. All I want to do is bring you into repentance and an authentic relationship with me and with the world around you. That's why Paul could say, I'm chief among sinners. Paul said, look, I'm not playing no game. If you don't think I'm as holy as you did 5 minutes ago, that's you. But I'm going to be honest about me because it helps me know who I am. Watch this. Said, many who believed came confessing their deeds. Also, those who had practiced magic brought their books together and they burned them in sight of all. That's an ironic statement. Because these are Jews and Greeks, right? These are Jews and Gentiles. They brought these magic books, these stuff that they weren't supposed to have, but they hid. That nobody knew about them, so that they could project Judaism. They could project Christianity, but they had these hidden parts of their life. But in the sight of this authentic deal that happened, they just brought it all out there and they confessed their deeds and they burned their stuff inside of everybody. And they counted up the value of them and it tallied 50,000 pieces of silver. That seems an odd thing to throw in the middle of this text. Because we're talking about repentance, and all of a sudden these people said, let's put a value on what we just burned. Because you got to understand something. To move towards the Lord is going to cost you something. To really be authentic, to really be what you're supposed to be to the Lord is going to cost you in some area. If you're tired of walking around in the funk, get new friends. It'll cost you being alone for a little while. If you're tired of the funk of a bad boyfriend or girlfriend, ditch them. It'll cost you. You'll cry for a little while. They'll cry for a little while. They'll probably go on social media and burn you in effigy. It'll be all right. It'll cost you, but you'll survive. If you've had a reputation of being easy and all of a sudden you put values in your life, it'll cost you. If you've built a business on sketchy business practices, but all of a sudden you go legit, it'll cost you. Verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. See, because to answer the question of who you really are, something has to prevail and something has to lose. To live a life that lacks authenticity means that you have to let a lot of other things, you have to let a lie, and you have to let secrets, and you have to let all that stuff, that's the things that you have to let prevail. But to answer the question, who am I? Well, let me answer it for myself. I am a sinner first and foremost, saved by grace. I've been adopted into the family of Christ. I've seen God do the extraordinary, but I've learned how to serve Him in the ordinary. I had to learn how to be last so that I could be promotable. And I figured out that the biggest thing that I wrestle is not the devil, but is me. The biggest thing I have to fear is not failure, but my own inability to deal with success. Because success causes me to lean on me and not on God. Failure, I run to Him. So if the enemy were to ask me who I am, I'm just his son who doesn't have it all figured out, but is trying to really hard. My job is never to please the people that go to my church, but to please the God that I serve. Make sense? Your answer is going to look different because your answer may look like this. And I'm a person who just gave my life to Christ, and I don't have any of it figured out. I'm just glad I'm not going to hell. That's a place. That's an identity. But that identity will grow into looking like something like this. You know what? I'm a mom who, or I was a lady who was married one time, and then I fell out of the faith, and then my life fell apart, and I'm just here trying to put it back together again, and I realize that the only glue that's going to make my life stick is God. I'm a single parent, and I'm here because this is the only hope I've got. Or you may be here, and you go, you know what? I've got it all. I'm a millionaire. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm a billionaire. I've got a jet waiting on me at the Honda port. Do you know what? I figured out that it's all empty if there's nothing after this life. See, who I am depends on where I came from. And more importantly, it depends on where I'm going and who I really want to be. Because I'm going to tell you the version of me right now. Matthew McConaughey was brilliant. In an interview one time, and if you've been here any length of time, you've heard me quote this before. Matthew McConaughey, in an interview one time, they asked him, they said, who's your hero? He said, I am in 5 years. Come back and see me in 5 years and I'll be the man I want to be. So this reporter, you can look this up on the internet, it's pretty cool. This reporter jotted it down and she came back in 5 years and said, Matthew McConaughey, who's your hero? Are you your hero? And he said, no, but come back and see me in 5 years and then I'll be the man that I really want to be. And she said, well, you told me that 5 years ago. And he said, oh, I'm better than that guy. I am that guy's hero, but I'm not my hero today. And what he was really saying is, look, I'm not as good as I can be. I'm not as godly as I can be. I'm not the husband I can be. I'm not the dad I could be. And you know what? Some of us spend our life worrying about the guy we were 2 days ago rather than the guy we can be in a couple of years. We're so busy worrying about the mom we weren't when they were six that we can't be the mom we're supposed to be when they're 12. We're so worried about the God we didn't serve when we were 20 that we can't serve Him when we're 60. Does this make sense to you? What if we just said, okay, God, who am I right now and who do I want to be? Not who I project that I am, but who do you really want me to be? I'm going to encourage you to do some things. You need to write down who you want to be. Who do you want to be as a dad? Who do you want to be as mom? Who do you want to be as a Christ follower? Who do you want to be as a student? Who do you want to be as an employee? What are you trying to be? I use this thing when we go to the beach. As we come to close, I use this thing called Waze on my phone. Anybody ever heard of it? If not, you need to download it. It's great. Waze is a GPS application. And what it does is I run her through my Bluetooth on my truck. So no matter what I'm listening to, she'll come through and go, turn right in 2 miles. Turn right in 1/4 mile. Turn right in 500 feet. My wife and I were coming. Now, I know how to come back from the beach. Get on 40. If you want to go to the beach, you go east. If you want to come back, you go west. You don't really need a GPS. But Waze does something funny. Waze will tell you where the police are. Waze will tell you when people are broke down on the shoulder of the road. Waze will keep up with all the other Waze drivers and let you know when traffic slows down, and she'll reroute you. She won't even tell you about it. True, anybody else on Waze, will you testify to this for me for just a second? And you know what? We were riding down the road, and I was thinking about what I wanted to preach, and we were coming through there, and all of a sudden, GPS rerouted me, and Tracy said, were you going to listen to it or not? Because we're on 40. I mean, I'm really just listening to it for the popo. Judge me however you want to. And she said, I think you should. You know what I figured out is that sometimes we let our electronics guide us more than we let the Lord guide us. The faith that we put that it knows more what it's talking about than we do is a lot more confidence than we put in the Word of God that was written for our lives that knows way more than we do. We'll argue with that, but we'll listen to our phone. If you really want to answer the question, who you are, follow the directions that were written by the Creator for your purpose and for your destiny. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks about it. If you'll just be who God created you to be, and you can answer the question who you really are, what kind of person you really are, then you'll be able to live a life that on your deathbed, you'll say what Paul said. Paul said, I ran my course. I finished my race. I fought a good fight. Paul said, I didn't run somebody else's race. I didn't fight somebody else's fight. I didn't finish somebody else's course. There were people I emulated, but I was what God wanted me to be. And at the end of this, I've done what He's called me to do. That's the fulfillment that I think that God's really looking for out of you, regardless of your stage of life. If you're a high school student or if you're a senior, if you're anything in between, that's the challenge that God has for you today. You know the amazing thing? That if God challenged you to do it, He's already equipped you to finish it. Amen. There's already the stuff inside of you to be everything that you think you're supposed to be. It's in there. The challenge is the fight and the discipline that it takes to become it. You receive this today. Father, as we come to close, God, with every head down, with every eye closed, I wonder if there's one person in here who says, you know what, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I've never asked Christ into my heart. Or maybe, you know what, maybe I've walked away from it. Maybe today's the day when I rededicate my life. I just want to start my journey over with the Lord. If that's you today, will you just slip your hand up? I'm going to assume everybody in here is right with the Lord. You know what, my prayer is this, is that for the first time maybe in your life, that you'll begin to ask the questions who you really are, and that God will answer that question with such an resounding echo that you'll get a purpose and that you'll get a destiny and that you'll get a direction in your life that you've never had before. Father, today I pray for every person that is under the sound of my voice. Father, whether they're in this room, they watch online, they listen to it over a podcast. Father, today I pray that you give their life such direction, God, that you allow them to answer the question that has echoed through the ages. God, who am I? Who do you say that you are, and who are you really? God, let us echo that with the reflection of who you created us to be. God, who you've called us to be. God, let us write down on paper and remember, Father, what you destined us to become. Father, and then give us the purpose and the encouragement and the commitment, Father, to become everything that you've called and created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.